Welcome to the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast. Have you ever felt like you prayed and your prayers just hit the ceiling and came right back to you? Or maybe you thought, God has left me. This feeling isn't something only you deal with. The book of Psalms is full of David saying he felt the same way, and Christians around the world have felt this way at times for centuries. But this is where faith gets stronger. Listen as our pastor explains.
All right, Psalms 13. The Bible said, "How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Look at verse 1 and 2 one more time and hear the lament of the psalmist David. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long? How long? Have you ever asked that question? How long? Have you ever felt like you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened? Another place in the Bible it says that the heavens become as brass. You pray, you repent, you do everything you know to do, you quote Bible verses, you beg, you plead the blood of Jesus, you rebuke the devils, you do everything you know to do, but nothing happens. It seems like God is a million miles away. So the title for my message today is The Sound of Silence. The Sound of Silence. Simon and Garfunkel released a chart-topping song called The Sound of Silence when I was 5 years old in 1964. And it talks about living in a world where you feel lonely. Living in a world where the deafening sound of silence. The lyrics say that 10,000 people walking and talking, but no one responds. So the secularists, Sound of Silence, admitted that there are times in everyone's life when you feel lonely, when you feel, I use the word depressed, when you feel down, when you feel like, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you be silent when I pray? So I want to talk to you about that. And it takes a spiritual person to really be honest about that. Because most people live from emotion to emotion to emotion, high, from a spiritual high to a spiritual high. We talk about, oh, I had a great service at the church today. What that normally means is the clapping, singing was good. The praise and worship was outstanding. People were shouting. There was a lot of noise. There was a lot of vocalness. That's what most people say when we had a great service at church. But what about those solemn services? What about those times when there's not a shout? What about those times when you don't feel like shouting because you have had days, weeks, months maybe, when it feels like, how long, oh Lord, are you going to not listen to me? How long are you not going to respond to my prayers? And I would tell you, in my 54 years of ministry, there's been more silent days than there have been vocal days. There's been times when you pray and say, man, I feel like I'm just wasting my time. Nothing's happening. The heavens are brass. I want to tell you four things. The number one is the reality of God's silence. God is silent at times. And sometimes when you can't feel him, when you can't hear him, you begin to get discouraged. In Psalms 13, verse 1 and 2, David is saying, the circumstances were overwhelming to him. He was known as the psalmist David. Remember, he was the young man who, whenever Saul, before David became king, whenever Saul was having a oppression from the demons that were attacking him, they'd call David in and he'd play on his harp a melodious song and it would calm the savage beast, if you will, inside of Saul. But yet this same lyric says here that David felt at times that God was not listening, that circumstances of life were overwhelming. In verse 2 he said, "Indeed, your counsel, I need counsel over my enemies because they seem to be so great, I don't know what to do." Have you ever been there? When you just say, "Lord, I don't know what to do about this situation. I've tried everything. I don't know whether to go left or right. I don't know whether to go back up or go forward. I just don't know what to do. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to please you. I read my Bible. I go to church. I plant seeds. But nothing seems to be happening. How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me?" The sound of silence. God is still there, but he's silenced. In verse 3, he said he was had pressure to the point of despair. The sleep of death that he's talking about here is suicide. He said, "There's been times whenever I just feel like I just need to go to sleep and not wake up. Just go on to heaven. Just leave this world because I am so lonely. I am so depressed. I am so despondent. I just feel like giving up." The sound of silence. I want you to realize something, that this feeling that you feel is absolutely real. Silence from God is not uncommon in the life of believers. David, the Bible said in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. And the Lord said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who wrote good songs and prayed good prayers and had intercessory, imprecatory, all kind of prayers, and he prayed them. And he trusted God. And he loved the Lord. But yet there are times when David felt that his presence was not there. I like what Dr. Hiles used to say. When you can't feel his presence, rejoice because you know he is present. See, that's faith. Sometimes when you can't feel God's presence, then you have to rejoice in the fact that you know that he is still present. See, in verse number 4, when David felt this abandonment, when David felt this deep feeling of sorrow, this silence, this strong sound, the deafening sound of silence from God, in verse number 4, David reminded himself of the past mercies and his own salvation. He said, "Lest my enemies say I prevailed against him and those that trouble me rejoice, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." See, it's during those times when the sound is silent, during those times when you just can't feel his presence, that you have to, by faith, remember that he is present and remember that God is a God of mercy. And he showed us mercy. Everyone in this room, everyone listening to me, around the world, by whatever means you're listening, if you'll recall those times in the darkest point of your life when the Lord showed up, when he sent the light, when everything looked bad, and then God worked a miracle. You have to sometimes regurgitate, if you will. You have to sometimes remember the past to get you through the present. See, that's what a testimony is. Test, emoni. You went through the test, and now you emoni. Now you can vocalize that God brought you through something. Because if you've never been through anything, you don't have a testimony. If you never had a mess, you don't have a message. Amen. But it's during those hard times. That's easy to remember whenever you're on the mountain, when we have good services, when everything's going great, when all the bills are paid, baby's not sick, your wife's not nagging you, dog's not barking at you. All those times, it's okay. It's easy to praise the Lord. But you see, David said, "I need to call to my memory the mercies of the Lord. When I didn't get what I deserved and the grace of God, when I got what I didn't deserve and the favor of God, that even in the midst of all my crisis, God was still there." Don't ever let your situation hinder your faith by remembering the salvation of God and the mercies of God. In verse number 5, he said that he worshiped in silence. See, he said in verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. When was he singing? At the same time he was writing verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you keep silent? How long will you hide yourself? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Oh, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my... Oh, I will sing. I can't remember the rest of the words. But you just have to learn to sing in the silence. Sing at the deathbed. Sing in the hospital room. Sing at the foreclosure meeting. Sing in the prison cell. Sing whenever everything seems like it's falling apart. That's when real worship comes out. You know what happens when you squeeze a lemon? You get lemon juice. When you squeeze a Christian, you should get the joy of the Lord. See, whenever you're pressed beyond measure, whenever you feel like you just, it's God is silent, it's during that pressing that the sweet wine of the Holy Spirit's joy will come oozing out of you. So David said, in spite of the fact that you're silent, in spite of the fact that I don't feel like it, I'm going to sing anyway. I'm going to worship through it. Because listen, praise is the waters that your enemies drowned in. The more you praise, the more it confuses the devil. How can he be praising the Lord when I know he's in pain? How can she still praise the Lord when she just lost her baby? How can she still be singing whenever I just took their bank account from them? It confuses the devil when you sing praises in the midnight hour. It doesn't confuse the devil when you praise the Lord, like he said to Job. It's easy for Job to praise you, God, because he's got all this wealth and he's got all of his health and he's got all of his kids and everything's going good. But just let me attack him. See, whenever Job was attacked and he still worshiped God, that confused the devil. That beat up the devil. That destroyed the devil. So not only did David suffer from this, but it's realistic that other saints suffered it. Job, we just talked about. In Job chapter 30, verse 15 through 20, the man Job, by the way, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was written before Genesis. And I think it's interesting, it was the first book written, the oldest book written, and it's the one that everybody quotes whenever they're going through a hard time. When the pressure is tough, whenever we want to see somebody who got through it, we read Job. Verse 15 said of Job 30 said, terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. Does that sound like the sound of silence to you? Where are you, God? Have you forgotten me? My bones are pierced in me in the night season. My muscles, my sinews take no rest. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It binds me about as a collar of my coat. He hath cast me into the mire, into the mud. I am just like dust and ashes. That's despondency. That's the sound of silence. But verse 20, he said, I cry unto thee, and you did hear me. I stand up, and you regarded me not. Job said, I just don't feel like you're listening. I'm sitting here, I've lost my children, I've lost my wealth, I went bankrupt in a day, my house is destroyed, my children's homes are destroyed, and worst of all, I've got 12 coffins sitting at the front of the altar. Excuse me. All my children are dead, and here now you've attacked my health. And I've got great big old boils on me and the worst of all that, all my friends come and they're telling me how terrible I am and how many sins I must have committed. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I don't have any answers. Where are you, Lord? The sound of silence. Now it took Job almost 40 chapters before he got to understanding that he had to rejoice in the Lord and that the Lord had a purpose. But Job went through it. David went through this. Jesus on the cross went through the sound of silence. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, said from verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land. 6 hours, noon. From noon until 3 o'clock, there was total darkness as Jesus was hanging on the cross. And about the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you know what? God did not answer him. The sound of silence. God did not send legions of angels to rescue him. The sound of silence. And the night before that, in the Garden of Gethsemane, 3 times Jesus said, Father, if it's your will, please let this cup pass from me. And you know what God answered? Not a word. The sound of silence. So it's a reality to understand that from time to time, good people go through silent periods where God seems to be miles and miles away. The Apostle Paul went through it. Good man, but he had a thorn in the flesh, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet, to beat me, to slap me around is what that word means. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it would depart from me. No answer. Until the last. And then he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Man, that takes faith. But for 3 times, God was silent. So I ask this question. If an upright and perfect man like Job, if a man that was after God's own heart like David, if the very Son of God like Jesus Christ, and if the greatest preacher who ever lived except for Christ, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of your New Testament, found those periods of the sounds of silence, it's coming to you too. And as I said in my preface, I've probably had more times of silence than I have of vocalness coming from God. So the reality of God's silence. But let's also look at the purpose, the reason behind the silence. Why is God sometimes silent? Isaiah 55 tells us in verse 6 through 11, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he's near. What does that mean in the antithesis? It means sometimes you're not going to find him. You're going to seek him, he's not going to find you. You're not going to find him. Sometimes you're going to try to call upon him and he's not going to be near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him that returneth to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Here's the verse. For my thoughts, God said, are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. And it will prosper in the thing that I sent it to. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Sometimes God appears near, and sometimes God appears far. Sometimes God answers our prayers in 35, 40 minutes, and sometimes it takes weeks and months and years, and sometimes he doesn't even answer it the way we want it to be. Sometimes God has a higher plan than our present situation. You may want this suffering to end. You may want this problem to cease. You may want this provision to be made, but God has a higher purpose. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But I've got a plan, and as Lord, we submit to his plan. See, God is not our puppet. We're his. We do what God says on God's timetable. But it's in those times of silence that we have to understand that God has a purpose. Peace comes through submitting to walking by faith. When we rely on the written word of God, verse 11, my word will not return to me void, then that gives us peace. Every Sunday morning I come early and I walk around the church here and pray, and usually I pray for about 10 or 15 minutes for our media ministry, because we're on 5 networks. And I pray we supposedly reach millions upon millions upon millions of people, but ironically, we don't have a whole lot of people responding to us. I wish you would. If you're listening on Now Television, I wish you'd tell us. If you're listening on AMFM 24/7, WREB, I wish you'd tell us. If you're listening on Worldwide Christian Radio, we've been on it for 15 years, I wish you'd tell us. But you see, sometimes I have to rely on faith, not sometimes, all the time, we have to rely on faith of Isaiah 55:11, that His word will not return void. And as I'm praying for success in the media ministry, God is telling me, don't you worry about it, I got you, I am preaching, you're preaching the gospel, it's going out around the world, and the purpose that I have planned for it is getting done. And sometimes God rebukes me and says, mind your own. Your business is to preach, my business is to see who gets to hear it. Somebody say amen. And so sometimes we have to understand, in God's silence, when we are praying a certain way and we want it to be done a certain time frame, God says, no, no, I've got a higher plan. I've got a more divine situation. I've got something else. Think about Job. He went through hell, y'all. He went through horror. I can't imagine losing all of my children in one day. I can't imagine having a wife said, curse God. I can't imagine being sick after all that. It looks like, have you ever asked this question? How much more are you going to put on me? How much more? Give me a break. And I'm sure Job felt that way. But what did I just tell you? It was the first book written. It's the oldest book in the Bible. And it's the one that everybody, without exception, goes to when they're going through a trial. Had Job not went through all that, then he'd have nothing to tell us. And we wouldn't even read the book, because some people would think Job is pronounced Job, and you want to avoid that at all cost. But because of the grace of God and because of the purpose of God, we run to that book. See, silence often tests and deepens our trust in God. Silence makes us depend more on the Lord. God may be working behind the scenes to accomplish a greater good. When you pray and ask God for a certain thing, and you expect a certain thing to happen, God may be working behind the scenes to accomplish that, or something even better. Think about John chapter 11, verse 1 through 6, whenever Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, were His three best friends on earth, humanly speaking. He often dined in their house. They were friends. And in John chapter 11, verse 1 said, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was this same Mary that anointed the Lord with the ointment, wiped His feet with her hair. Her brother was sick. See how intimate John's telling us? See, this is somebody very close to Jesus. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Not somebody that you only hear about occasionally, but the man that you love, the family that you love, the most cherished people in your life. The brother's sick. So she was praying and she said, come and heal him. And Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. And then it says he abode 2 more days. And then Lazarus did what? He died. See, Mary wanted him healed. Martha wanted him not to go through the torment of sickness anymore. Come and heal my brother. You can do it. They had faith. They sent a messenger to go find him. They had faith. They believed that Jesus could heal. They prayed. The sound of silence came. For 2 days, no word from Jesus. 3 days went by. 4 days went by. And then Jesus shows up. And the greater thing, the greater miracle took place in that. Now listen, not only that he raised Lazarus from the dead, the first man who was ever raised from the dead who had been dead for 4 days. Jesus had healed a few other, raised a couple other people from the dead, but this was the first one that, according to Jewish theology, had the carcass had to be in the grave for 3 days before it was really pronounced dead, because that's when they believed that the spirit was gone from the person and he was dead, dead. You ever heard that, dead as a doornail? That's where they were dead. There was no life. Jesus waited deliberately to where all the Jewish people who knew that their theology was that the spirit didn't leave until the third day, he wanted to make sure that they knew he was dead, dead. And then the greater miracle took place, you see? But in that sound of silence, that 4 days, that didn't help them any. They didn't know what he was going to do. They didn't know he was going to. In fact, whenever Jesus came and he said, take me to the tomb, and Mary said, wait, Martha said, wait a minute. One of them said, wait a minute. You can't open that tomb. He stinks. See, they didn't have embalming fluids like we have. They didn't do like we do now. You can't do that. If you open that door, the smell, the stench of death is going to come out, and it's going to be repulsive. And Lord, if you'd been here and been healed, but now don't open it. See, they didn't have any faith to believe that. But God knew that he was going to do a greater miracle. He had to let him die. He had to let him stink. He had to let him face corruption. And then he opened the tomb, and Lazarus walked out. So some of us have been going through periods of silence, and it seems like, man, there's just no hope. I just can't get God to answer anything. Don't get upset. Don't get confused. Don't lose your faith. God is going to accomplish the greater good, and he is moving literally heaven and earth to hear your prayers. You've prayed for a certain thing. Well, he's got to get a certain person in a certain place at a certain time, and he's got to orchestrate. He's got to get other people convinced and to exercise their free will to help you. He's got to convince your boss. He's got to convince your mother-in-law. He's got to convince your teacher. He's got to convince whomever to do whatever. He's moving the little pieces together to put it together, and when the puzzle finally comes to pass, you're going to be excited. But right now, it's the sound of silence. So we need to realize that it's true. Godly people will go through silent times. We need to understand that the purpose of our silence is that not that God is inactive, but that God is sovereign, and that he's working, he's orchestrating, he's arranging, he's moving all the people, places, and events together to work out what you've asked for your good and his glory. So then what should our response be? We realize it happens. It's common. We understand there's a purpose. What should our response be? Look at Psalms 13 again and verse 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice. But I will trust in your mercy. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he dealt bountifully with me. Whenever you're going through the silent period, do like David. He didn't stop praying. He didn't say this is an exercise in futility. I prayed for hours. I prayed for that. Remember when his baby died? He prayed for days and fasted for days. And whenever God finally, he took his baby and he didn't revive him, he got up, washed his face, sat down and ate a meal. And they said, what's wrong with you, David? All these days you prayed, and all these days you asked God to heal your baby, and he didn't heal your baby. He took him to heaven, and now you get up and you eat like nothing's happened. And David said, I have to trust the Lord. I didn't know if God would be merciful to me or not. In his silence, I was hoping he would respond. But he didn't respond the way I wanted him to. So he took my child. I can't bring him back, but I can go to be with him. So he gets up and praises the Lord. And so that's what we have to do. He kept praying even though he didn't get his prayers answered. Even whenever he felt like God was a million miles away, he still prayed. Sometimes we pray not so much for God to hear us, but for us to hear us to believe that we still believe that he hears us. Have you ever said, man, I feel like I'm just praying to myself. I'm just talking to myself. Sometimes you are. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And your faith might need to be increased as you pray in the silence, maybe even pray silently, so that your faith can be strengthened. Don't quit praying just because you don't see an immediate answer. He cried out even more. See, the worst response we can have is to be silent back to God. It's called passive aggressive. You married couples understand when she gives you the silent treatment. Anybody ever go through that? Oh, you liar, liar, pants on fire, nose is longer than telephone wire. Women are the best about that. They give you the silent treatment. And so for hours, maybe days, sometimes weeks. And I was counseling somebody and said, she just won't speak to me. I said, so what are you doing? He said, I don't talk back. Hello? That's dumb. See, whenever she's silent, you need to be vocal. Because that's passive aggressive behavior. And you don't want to do that. So when God doesn't answer me, I just show you, God, well, I won't talk to you either if you don't talk to me. You think that upsets God? See, you're trying to manipulate God. And God can't be manipulated, folks. So the worst thing when God is silent that you can do is be silent back. Pray harder. Pray more. Remember I told you about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed 3 times. When God didn't answer him the first time, he didn't quit praying. He went back and prayed again. And when God didn't answer him that time, he went back and prayed again. See, you, the more that God is seemingly not hearing you, the more you need to make sure he hears you. Because that's faith. Faith is walking by, not by sight, not by feelings, but by belief. Your word said that you hear me when I pray. Your word says that your name is a strong tower that I'm going to run into. So whenever I can't feel you, I've got to rejoice that I know you're still present and I'm going to exercise like you're right here beside me. I'm going to pray even more. In Luke 18, verse 1 through 7, the parable of the unrighteous judge. Y'all know that story? It says in there, there was a parable to this end that men ought always to pray and not faint. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and don't faint, don't quit, don't give up. Saying there was in the city a judge who feared not God, neither feared man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, verse 3, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not. Sound of silence. Wouldn't hear her. Not going to do it for a while. But afterward, he said to himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said this, listen, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night and day and night? It's in the Greek, the progressive tense, day and night and day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. We call it importunity. The importune prayers. You just keep asking. You just keep praying. You just keep begging. You just keep believing. You just keep pleading the blood. You just keep speaking the word. You just keep walking by faith. Even though he bear long with you, you just keep on praying. And that prayer changes things, or prayer will change you. Because see, as you keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, doesn't the Bible say, ask and you shall receive? Ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. Knock and knock and knock and knock. That's what the Bible said to do. Just keep doing it. One of two things is going to happen. You're either going to move God or God is going to move you and change the way you pray. Prayer changes things or prayer changes people. And sometimes we need to get in line with God's will. And that's one of the reasons he's not listening right now, because it's not his will, and you know better. So just give him time. See, as we pray continuously and don't quit praying and keep being persistent, then the third thing that happens is we need to surround ourselves with truth and with community. Whenever your prayers are not being answered, you need to surround yourself with this book. Don't read about God. Read God's word. Don't read books about God that somebody else wrote. Read this book. The love letter from heaven. And let these promises get deep in your soul. Because that's when you need to feed. You have a need to feed whenever you don't see your seed coming to pass. Keep feeding. Keep looking. Keep praying. Keep reading. Keep believing. I was going through a very dark time in my life. I found myself in isolation, in the worst place possible, and it felt like God was a million miles away, and I had prayed, and we'd prayed for years here about the situation, and it didn't happen the way I thought it should happen. And I'll be honest, I was very angry. I was very depressed. I was very lonely. I was very sad. And so finally, someone gave me a Bible, and I took that Bible, and I started at Psalms 1. Because, see, I didn't need doctrine. I needed encouragement. And the Psalms will help you. And I can remember walking around in that 6x8, 3 steps this way, 2 steps this way, 3 steps this way, 2 steps this way, 3 steps this way, 2 steps this way, 3 steps back this way, walking and reading Psalms out loud to the Lord. And as I walked that 3 steps forward, 2 steps sideways, 3 steps forward, 2 steps sideways, for all the way till I got to Psalm 80, and then it broke. Because my faith needed to hear the Word of God. I needed to feed because I had a need. And so as I walked and prayed and read the Word of God out loud, faith comes by hearing. And when I heard it in my ears, it got into my spirit, and my spirit was lifted. I wish I could say, and I went on, as it said of who was Elijah, went on the strength of that bread for 40 days. I can't say that. I had to do it again and again and again. But during that most crucial time of my life, the Lord lifted me out of that pit of darkness by reading His Word. So surround yourself with the Word of God. And then can I tell you this? Also surround yourself with others who believe. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 said, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." See, community, why do we go to church? I know our primary ministry here is now networking on different platforms. Someone asked me, said, "Do you have organic growth?" I don't even know what that meant. I had to look it up. We have a few people that listen to us live on Facebook, and I appreciate you so much. But most of what we do is we buy time on other people's networks who already have an audience. And so that is primarily our ministry, right? That's our biggest expense. That's our biggest thing. That's why we gather together here. But hold on a second. That does not replace the local church. That's not community. That's not family reunion. That's not iron sharpeneth iron. I love you. I will pray for you. Our church will pray for you. But I'm not your pastor. You need to be involved in a local community. Hebrews chapter 10:26 said, "Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together." And so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. And I preached it for years. We're going to come together not just for fellowship, but for protection and provision. And you need to have a community where you can share your heart. "Hey man, I've been praying about this for weeks. I've been praying about this for months. I've been praying about this, and it seems like God is silent." We can help bear that burden. We can encourage you along the way. We love each other, and it really is a family. And when one hurts, the Bible said, all hurt. When one cries, we all cry. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Whenever you're going through that silent period of your life, strengthen yourself with the Word of God, but strengthen yourself with the community of God, the church of God, the family of God. Don't get alone. See, this is your family. This is your friends, and you can share the pain. And this together may break the silence. Remember the Bible said, "Where two or three agree on any one thing on earth?" That's talking about the local church, Matthew 18. "When two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. When two or three agree on any one thing, it's touching another, it shall be granted." I may have weak faith at that time because I'm going through a silent period. But you may have just gotten over a great big blessing, and your faith can add to my faith, and then your faith will add to our faith, and then your faith can add to his faith, and together we may have enough faith to break the silence and get the prayers answered quicker. That's what community is. That's what church is all about. So surround yourself with truth and with community, and bear long with them. Don't let God be a sense of disappointment. But number four, the hope behind the silence. The hope beyond the silence. In Psalm 13, verse 5 and 6, David came back and he said, you know, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to sing of his mercies. I'm going to remember his bountifulness. David shifts his emotions from despair to declaration. But I trust in your mercy. He shifted his focus from the present to revelation. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 26 became a reality. He said, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His mercies, his compassions are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3, you ought to put that in your Bible. I'll put it up somewhere. Read it daily. 22 through 26. David said, I'm going to trust in your mercy, your unfailing love, your gift to me. And I'm going to dwell on revelation and the past recorded events in my life. Number two, God's silence is not the end of your story. It often precedes a deeper revelation. In verse 26 of Lamentations said, it's good that a man should just hope and quietly wait. Hope in God and quietly wait on God. And whenever the prayer comes through and the answer comes and the light shines, what a victory we can celebrate. So here's our conclusion. It's real. You're going to go through silent periods. Other people have, other people will. It's a fact of life. But then we have to trust God in the midst of the silent period. Strengthen our soul with reading the Word and communicating with other brethren. Shift our despair to declaration by declaring the truth of God's Word and relying on the mercy of God. Knowing that this is not the end, it's only a process. And then worship while you wait. So important. Worship while you wait. His silence will not always last. Remember that delay is not denial. You remember our original three examples? Job. What happened in Job's silence? Well, in Job 13:15, that he said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my integrity, my ways before him. David. In Psalm 16, I will bless the Lord, hath given me my counsel, my reins will instruct in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he's on my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. See, just four chapters later, where are you, God? I will bless the Lord. Where are you, God? I will set my ways before the Lord and I will glory in his grace. Jesus in Luke chapter 23 through 46, and he said, he cried with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He gave into the will of the Father, and because of that, you and I have eternal life. And the Apostle Paul, my goodness, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul said, most gladly will I glory in my sicknesses, in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. What? I take pleasure with having a hole in my foot. I take pleasure with having a sore tooth. I take pleasure with having cancer. I take pleasure in this thorn in the faith. Really? Now, that's a statement of faith. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Here's the reason. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, God may be silent, but he's never absent. God may be silent, but he's never absent. And when he seems silent, press in. Lean in. Don't lean back. Don't step away. Someone, I saw a bumper sticker, said, if you feel like God moved, who changed position? God's the same yesterday and day forever. So if you feel like God's moved, you've moved, not God. He's still there. So press in. And then we have to choose our free will to trust Him in the silent times, to continue to pray when He's not listening, and to praise Him through the valley, believing that God is faithful and one day He will break the silence, the light will come forward, and it will be for your good and His glory, the sound of silence. Even that song, by the way, if you listen to the lyrics, I had to find them. In the end, it says, hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. He said, in restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of the neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never shared. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I may teach you. Take my arms that I may reach you. Put my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed. See, after all that, to the neon god they'd made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said, the words of the prophets there are written on subway walls and tenement halls. And then it whispered the sound of silence. So even in the secular verse, light comes through. And if Simon and Garfunkel knew that truth, how much more should we know it? That God may appear silent, may appear distant, may appear like He's not listening, but He's working all things for our good and His glory. Don't quit praying. Don't quit believing. Don't quit holding on. And don't stop expecting to receive. In the end, the vision will be made clear. Father, thank You, Lord, that even in the silence You speak. Sometimes, Lord, You speak the loudest in the silence. You may be distant, but You're never absent. You may, in our mind, be delayed, but You never deny. And help us, Lord, to not give up when our flesh says quit. To not stop praying when we prayed all the prayers that we know how to pray. To not stop reading and believing whenever our flesh says it's no use, it's no good. The devil says stop, you're wasting your time. Help us to keep on keeping on, because there is a voice that will break through the sound of silence. And Lord, if there's one listening that is not saved, has never met Christ as their Lord and Savior, never accepted the great God of the universe that gave Himself in the form of His Son on the cross, dying for sinners, I pray right now today that that person would turn to You and say, Lord, by faith I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus died for my sins. And right now I repent of my sins and ask You to come in my life and save me. And then, Lord, You said that whosoever will may come. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, U.S. of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in for the conclusion of this series. Join us next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern as the pastor starts on a new topic. Until then, we will be praying for you and your family that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.